Well, just a very, very, very brief word from me just to encourage us about the emotionally healthy spirituality. Oop, I'll just take that with me. And if you have... I think I'm going to swap microphones. Is that all right? Because I can do that. Great.
Good. Okay. So, over the last few months, well, it's a couple of months now, we've really been kind of following through on this book, which is called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, okay? So Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, if you haven't actually kind of seen it, or you've not really kind of registered the fact that we've done that, or you're just brand new in church and you actually just turned up today and you didn't know we were doing this, if you go to our website, which is whiteinchchurch.org, and go to the sermons part, then actually you could be able to kind of listen to all the last kind of 4 or 5 weeks worth of sermons on emotionally healthy spirituality. But basically what this is about, what this book is about sort of saying, actually, it's important for the church to be healthy emotionally. It's important for us to be good in terms of our relationships with one another. And actually, we need some help to know how to do that. And so over the last sort of 5 weeks, we've been focusing on a number of different things. We've been dealing with our emotional stuff, our baggage, as it were. We've been knowing ourselves, recognizing that actually we do carry stuff with us. We do actually kind of, you know, we do actually kind of have to deal with these things, and it's important to kind of be aware of them. We've been dealing with past hurts. We talked about the fact that hurt people. Yeah, get it? Hurt people. Yeah, don't we? We know that's true. And so actually, if we're going to get to help people, then we need to actually deal with the issues around our hurting. We talked about the journey through the wall. That was a hard thing, wasn't it? We recognized that there's moments where we actually hit the dark night of the soul. And we, you know, how do you deal with that? How do you actually get real with those things? How do you not kind of like run away from them or ignore them or whatever? How do you deal with that? And then last week, Shona was talking about enlarging your soul through grief and loss. Funky title. That was a big popular one to amongst the teaching team as to who was going to do it. And it definitely was her. So she did a great job last week. As we talked about, you know, grief and loss, these are real parts of our life. And actually, again, if we don't deal with them, then they come back to bite us in the bum. We need to deal with our stuff. And so, again, we kind of talked about that. And today we're kind of moving into a different kind of phase. In terms of the book, it kind of we're getting onto the bit where it begins to talk about basically how to help us to build strength in terms of how to have an ongoing pattern of emotional health, which will help us. And listen, if you're a Christian or not, this stuff's good. And actually, it's really important. So, you know, it's useful for the people that you're working with tomorrow. You can go and you can sort of say, oh, I learned a few things about how to actually kind of keep my emotional health up. Well, hopefully we'll decide in a minute or two. So today we really want to just sort of focus on a couple of things. One is the daily office, as it's called, and the other one is called Sabbath, which is really about how we find a time and a pattern of resting and connecting with God. And really both of these things, both the daily office and Sabbath, are really about how do you build healthy relationship with God. Because if you can build healthy relationship with God, then actually our experience is that will actually kind of cultivate a health within you in every area, including your emotions and including your physical body and all sorts of things that are affected by that. So really what I want to sort of say is this. People ask the question, why are there some folks in church who seem to kind of sail through and deal with things and really are able to do amazing things? Why is it? And this is the truth. It's the people that deal with this stuff. It's the people that deal with the character issues that actually grow in God, that grow to become healthy and mature people. If you want the simple answer, it's the ones that have taken the time to actually sort that out and connect, find a way of connecting with God in an ongoing way that is healthy and works for them. These are the ones that you'll actually sort of see who are kind of growing in these things. So let's read from the scriptures, just a couple of readings. One is both from the Old Testament, one from Daniel 6, and then from Exodus 20. So I'll just read these to you from Daniel 6. It says this, so these chief ministers and satraps, that's a good title for you to have, a satrap, went as a group to the king and said, may King Darius live forever. The royal ministers, prefects, satraps, I used to be a prefect. I want you to know that I had a badge. I've never been a satrap. Anyway,
satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except you, your majesty, should be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. And then again in Exodus chapter 20, this is the giving of the Ten Commandments, and it says this, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth below, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am jealous of you, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation for those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name.'" And then this is the bit that we're focusing in on for today. "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath, and a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." These scriptures are given to us really as an encouragement for us to pursue relationship with God. And to, I think that the story of Daniel in particular is quite an incredible one. It's one which, sadly, is being repeated today in Persia, in the very place where actually Christians are being persecuted for their faith, not just persecuted, but actually taken out and executed by folk who are pushing to say there is no other gods than Allah, and who are saying, you know, this is how you should do it. And we know that, we know the story. And interestingly, Daniel was in that situation, and the consequence of his action was not that somehow he had a lovely time thereafter and everything went, you know, swimmingly. You know, and actually the people actually just all changed their mind and decided that wasn't a good idea. What happened was he actually was thrown into the lions, then he was actually punished. Now, we know that he was miraculously saved, but the point about it is this, that actually the reason why he was able to press forward and to do the things that he was supposed to was because he had, and we will call it the daily office, but basically he had a pattern where day by day he connected with God. And if you want to grow in health and maturity, and in particular spiritual health, one of the most important things you'll ever do is just develop a pattern of daily rhythm with God, connecting with him and understanding him, reading the scripture, praying, whatever it is. And listen, if you haven't done it before and you don't know how to get into it, start small. Just do a few things. Read a small section of scripture, think about it, ask, what is God saying to me out of that scripture? And then after that, just pray. Pray the Lord's Prayer. And maybe, or you might want to pray, you know, there's a kind of thing called examine, which is the kind of prayer at the end of the day, where basically you kind of reflect on the day and you think about what God's done and where he's been during the day with you. Whatever it is, whatever your pattern is, just start somewhere. Do something. And actually, as you do that, just be consistent about that, and that will give you great strength. And that was why Daniel actually, I'm sure, was able to do what he did, because he knew God. Every day, he knew God. He connected with God. And actually, from that, there was great strength that came. But the other thing is about the Sabbath, and that's about the pattern of resting and restoration and recreation. So it's resting. It is actually about taking a break. It is about trying to organize our life in such a way that actually there is a one day in each week where we actually stop and we rest and we don't work. But it's about restoration. It's about restoration of relationship with God. So it's actually about, you know, taking time to be with him and connect with him. Maybe I do a wee bit more that day than you've done in the other 6 days. And it's also about recreation. It's about us being recreated by just enjoying, you know, time, you know, to be able to enjoy whatever it is that you enjoy, whether it's going to the football or walking the dogs or, you know, going for a time with the family or going for a meal or whatever. Whatever it is, you know, there's lots of different ways that we can actually kind of have a Sabbath where we can connect and rest. But I think the reason why, in particular, I think it's important for us to actually to listen to this thing is because actually we need rhythms and patterns in our life that actually help us to be healthy. And the Sabbath day, the thing of taking a break every week, is actually part of that. It's quite interesting. My big sister Jane is in today, and I wanted to tell a story about actually our upbringing when we were kids, when we were in East Kilbride. We were brought up in East Kilbride when we were in primary school, and Mum and Dad were there and doing an amazing job. We such admiration for our parents. Mum was a doctor, Dad was a minister. We moved into Greenhills in East Kilbride when there were, I think, we moved in with the Diggers, basically. I think there were like about 14 families or something like that living in Greenhills in East Kilbride when we moved in. Eventually, there was 11,000 folks that lived there. And the job that my dad had was to start a new church. And basically, he worked at doing this for like 8 years. He started with Jane and I, my mum, my dad, and about another, I don't know, 5 or 6 people that were in our front room in our first house that we lived there. And basically, that was it. That was Sunday school month. Mum played the piano, my dad preached, and Jane and I were the Sunday school. We went in and had orange juice and biscuits in the kitchen during halftime. And it grew, the church grew. So it went from our front room to a Sunday, to a class in the primary school, from a class in the primary school to the dining hall, and from there into the gym hall. And eventually they built a purpose-built building. And there were like 400 members by the time I left, 8 years later. But and this is a story that my dad would tell you if he was here. You know, he both he and my mum, but particularly Dad, just flogged himself to death nearly. You know, he just kept on going, thinking that actually the more that he would do for God, because that's what he was thinking, this is for God, the more that he would do for God, the better it would be. And it took for him to get to the point, I think, when we were probably, like, we were there for about 8 years, and it was probably about the 7th year. And I remember him just not being well. I mean, he wasn't well. The marriage wasn't well. As a family, there were a lot of shouting and bawling. It wasn't a good time. And it took for him to come to a place where actually he ran out of himself to come back to a place where actually he needed to relearn this pattern. And it was because of that burnout, basically, that happened, with all of the damage that could have been done to the marriage and us and the family and all the rest of it, that Dad swung right across and actually built patterns in his life. And so what happened after that was, you know, he took off a couple of days each week. He would see my mum, you know, because they kind of, it was like ships in the night, you know. They missed each other. They just didn't see each other. And so because they were busy, she was working, he was working, but they took time with one another. Dad came home between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock every night. We had him, we saw him, he sat and had tea with us every night. He did homework with us. We talked about what was happening in school every night. He connected with us. He invested time in that. He took holidays. We always took our holidays. We always took a break. You know, and what I'm sort of saying is this, that actually sometimes we can think that we're serving God by flogging ourselves to death, by doing lots and lots of things, because actually we think that's what he's telling us to do. But actually what God is sort of saying is, you know, I love you enough that I'm going to give you the pattern that will give you healthy, normal strength to be able to do these things. And I'm not saying that that's easy, because I think that there are some of us who have got ourselves, because of jobs and because of all sorts of obligations that we have, mortgages and all sorts of things, that we have to, it feels as though we have to work, we have to do this, we have to do this, we have to do that, and all the rest of it. And so our lives are really, really full sometimes. And listen, don't hear me say anything other than that there's grace to be able to change today. God is good. He really is good. And he's kind and he loves us and he helps us. But there are some patterns, long-term patterns, which actually are sometimes to do with our families and the way that they've been, that they've done their thing, that actually aren't really very healthy for us. And I think I just want to sort of say, hey, hear the call to develop healthy patterns which give us the ability to be rested and restored and recreated. Because actually God wants that. He wants us to be healthy in ourselves and in our relationships and in our families. And actually, it's not a good testimony to anybody outside the church to look at Christians and say, I don't want your life. Because I looked at your life, and if I had your life, that wouldn't be a good thing. And so God's speaking to us today about these things. So, emotionally healthy spirituality, section 6. We're almost there. 2 more to go, and then we'll be finished. Let's just take a moment to pray, and then we're going to have buns and all the rest of it. Father, we thank you for today, and thank you for the ways in which you've spoken to us. We want to pray, Lord, that you would bless us today with just your words resonating in our hearts, whether that's the word about being adopted, the spirit of adoption falling upon us and us hearing that call to come to you. Or whether it's that call to go deeper with you, to walk in these healthy patterns and relationships on a day-by-day basis, but on a week-by-week basis, and indeed seasonally and through the years. And Lord, we want to pray that you would, that you, Lord God, would do just a deep work in us so that we would be everything that you want us to be. We do not want to get stuck where we are, Lord. We want to deal with our baggage and deal with our stuff so that we would be healthy and whole and we would be able to press forward into all that you have for us. And so, Lord God, I ask that your blessing would be upon us now. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all those that you love, now and forevermore. Amen.